Okay, Church of the Hollywood Beat Cowboy, Episode 2, Volume 1. I'm John McFlanagan, the man with three names. Clint Eastwood had no name. In the spaghetti westerns, I've got three. J-O-H-N, M-A-C-K, my middle name. F-L-A-N-A-G-A-N, my last name. Let me just read some of my newsletter. This is going to be printed. I'm going to have a podcast and a newsletter. Oh, it's going to be exciting. The Church of the Hollywood Bee Cowboy, Volume 1, Episode 2. I've already done Episode 1. It's going to be by volumes, Volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so forth, 10 episodes per volume. So we're at volume number 2. This is it, a place to enjoy and celebrate the men and women of the 1930s and 40s. Up on that silver screen, the Bee Cowboys. Got to cover a lot of ground quickly, or this thing's going to be 20 pages. Where to start? The beginning. Late 80s at Walgreens, they were selling $3.99 VHS tapes. I bought two. An old Santa Fe, 1934, Ken Maynard, Gabby Hayes. First film appearance of Gene Autry. Wow. Wild Horse, 1932. Hoot Gibson, Step and Fetch It. What kind of film could they make in 1932? Sound came in the late 20s. I was hooked. Started studying Bee Cowboys. 1996, started a newsletter. Out there was a Bee Cowboy newsletter called The Review. And I dropped the name on mine, became the newsletter with no name. Did my memoirs for three years, 2013 to 2016. They're available, by the way, at Amazon.com. Plug, 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 plug. They're called Tight, T-I-G-H-T, the and symbol, Bright, Tight and Bright, a disc jockey Vietnam memoir. It's on Amazon.com right now. Miss those cowboys. First thing that came to me, name, Church of the Hollywood Bee Cowboys, so cool. First thing said to me, old cowboys? Why old cowboys? I said, why Elvis? Number one, these guys and girls did a lot of work. Bob Steele, 163 movies. Buck Jones, 126 movies. Johnny Mack Brown, I'm named after him, 131 movies. Roy Rogers, King of the Cowboys, 95 films. A lot of work, my friend. These people should not be forgotten. Two, these people were heroes to millions of Americans. They should be honored. Number three, in my disc jockey days, I worked with many Bee Cowboys. People so unique, not like anyone else. Each a commanding character. In Tucson, I wish I could remember his name, middle-aged newsman, drove a 280Z. I remember it was red. It was a 280Z. He drove a million miles an hour and wore a pistol on his hip on the air. And he smoked a pipe. Does that tell you how eccentric he was? The guy was definitely a Bee Cowboy type, a star. I worked with a lot of radio people. And they were each unique, and so were the Bee Cowboys. There's no two Bee Cowboys alike. Every one of them is different and unique. Jack Hoxie wore his gun facing forward, like Wild Bill Hickok wore two guns facing forward. Well, Jack Hoxie wore a gun on his left side facing forward, and he'd reach across, cross draw, they called it, pull out his gun. Tom Keene, I'm going to mention right here off the bat, Tom Keene buckled his gun belt in the back, so in the front, he was very cool. In the front were all cartridges. On the back was the buckle on his gun belt, so you didn't see it. And he had his holster. He was very cool. In this episode, episode number 2, volume 1, we're going to discuss three people. We're going to discuss, number 1, Tom Keene. I just mentioned him. 1930 to 1933, the years that really interest me in the B-Western, although I've got things. I've got Jack Hoxie, 1919, Lightning Bryce. It's a serial. Looks like it was shot today. I've got Jack Hoxie. I mentioned Harry Carey Sr. I've got a ton of Tom Mix, a ton of William S. Hart Sina films, right through to the early 50s. The B-Western kind of died about 1952. Charles Sterrett's contract was up at Columbia. He had been there 17 years, the only B-Cowboy to do that amount of time at one studio. Johnny Mack Brown's contract expired. He retired. These people were getting old. Their time was up. Anyway, I want to mention Tom Keene, 1930 to 1933, in my opinion, one of the brightest, sharpest, shiningest people ever on film. He didn't like being a B cowboy. Didn't want to be typecast. He was an actor. He was a serious actor. So he did 3 years or so of B westerns, and he went back to New York City and he did stage work. He changed his name along the way to Richard Powers. Ended up back out west. I guess if I'm going to have food on the table, I guess I got to be a B-cowboy. So Tom Keene came back, and he was a star through the 40s, doing work through the 40s. He's in Plan 9 from Outer Space, the Ed Wood movie. I think Tom Keene's a giant. He's a giant in Plan 9 from Outer Space. We're going to investigate Tom Keene. He did a lot of work. He was a great star. Second star I want to mention, Herb Jeffries, died not long ago, in his 90s, the first and only black singing cowboy. He was called the Bronze Buckaroo. Ran into a little kid one day. He said, "What do you want to be, boy?" And the little kid said, "I want to be a cowboy." Well, there weren't any cowboys at this time. This is in the mid-30s. So Herb Jeffries got the money together, and he did three films. I own all three of them. First one was called The Bronze Buckaroo. That's what Herb Jeffries would call, God, could this guy sing? He was a singer for Duke Ellington or somebody, had a big hit called Flamingo. Believe it or not, he was married to Tempest Storm, an exotic dancer. Herb Jeffries is the best. Wore two big silver guns, rode a big white horse. The black man with a black cast. Herb Jeffries, a B-cowboy legend, in my opinion. Third person we're going to talk about is the only singing cowgirl. She made three films. I've got them. Her name is Dorothy Page. Dorothy Page. She did a movie called The Singing Cowgirl. Dorothy was a big band entertainer, blonde, very attractive. She could ride and shoot with the best of them. She came out of big bands. A lot of people did. Dusty, who's in The Range Busters with Ray Corrigan and Max Terhune, one of my favorite sidekicks. Dusty in The Range Busters, a big band singer. And they had a singer, so they could, you know, add music to their productions. A lot of people came out of the big band era. That's where Herb Jeffries, the Bronze Buckaroo, came out of Duke Ellington or somebody's orchestra. It was a big orchestra, and they had a big hit called Flamingo. It was, and this guy could sing. Oh, my God, could he sing? Dorothy Page is a singer. In 1939, there were 60 Beat Cowboys. Now, if you think about it, 60 Beat Cowboys are probably, I think there was something like 17,000-something theaters in the United States. 60 Beat Cowboys. These people would sign a contract, and they would do a series of films, like Johnny Mac Brown, Tex Ritter. These people, all these people, they signed a contract for a series of films, and they would usually do 8 films. Maybe 9. I don't think they ever did 10. I don't think they did 6. They're pretty much 8 films, and they'd release them every couple of months through the year at the theater. They'd do 8 films at a time. That's how these people like Bob Steele and Tom Tyler and Johnny Mac Brown and, I mean, they cranked out the stuff. They did so many movies, and their stuff is so good. You can take any Gene Autry film. Start with Tumbleweeds. And go through every Gene Autry film. That guy never made a mistake. He was never weak on film. From his first appearance on film, Gene Autry was somebody. And did he have music? I just read a thing on my old newsletter. I sent a couple of pages to a friend of mine back east a couple of days ago. I found a page that I wrote about Back in the Saddle Again. A movie that Gene Autry did. Of course, that was his theme song. Wow. He had 4 or 5 songs. I mean, every 10 minutes, he'd have a song. I'm in the jailhouse now. You might remember that from the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? They did the bluegrass thing a few years ago, the Coen Brothers, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I'm in the jailhouse now. Back in the Saddle Again. You Are My Sunshine. It's all in this movie. Back in the Saddle, and a couple of more that are monster songs. Gene Autry just did tremendous music. I love Roy Rogers. I met him. My wife and I went to Victorville. He and Dale Evans had a museum down there. It's gone now. They took it to Branson, Missouri, and I think Dusty, his son, has liquidated everything from the Roy Rogers Museum. But we went. We got a picture. It's over there on the fireplace mantle. I met Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, cried when I met him, cried like a baby. Roy Rogers like father to me. My dad died when I was 11. I didn't have a dad, and Roy Rogers was it. My wife's dad died when she was 6. Oh, man, Roy Rogers is a big man in her life. I love Roy, but he just never had the music that Gene Autry had. I've got one of his films, Along the Navajo Trail. It's got My Adobe Hacienda. In my adobe hacienda, there's a touch of Mexico. One of the great songs Roy Rogers ever did. Of course, he did Don't Fence Me In. He made a movie around that. But Roy Rogers just never got the music Gene Autry got. Gene wrote his music and produced it. And if you've ever read Gene Autry's biography, Back in the Saddle Again, he really wanted to be a record producer. That's the person who goes in and says, okay, we're going to put the bells there. Let's bring the voices in over here. We'll have the fiddles there. The steel guitar will do that. A producer is somebody who builds the records. That's what Gene Autry wanted to be, was a record producer. He really didn't want to be a movie star. He was very uncomfortable in film. He said, I didn't know what to do with my hands. So he ended up putting them on his belt buckle. And along the way, if you watch Gene Autry films, he tugs on his gloves. He always wore gloves, and he was always pulling on them. It gave him something to do with his hands. Funny thing. Roy Rogers, under Western Stars, his first film in 1938, Roy Rogers was off and running. He was a giant. Roy Rogers. And then Gabby Hayes joined him. Gabby Hayes had a falling out with Bill Boyd, Hopalong Cassidy. So he joined Roy Rogers at Republic and had a very happy life. Gabby Hayes was a sweet man, very raconteur, very a cook, and a very educated, very debonair fellow. But he got his beard and hat bent up, and he wore a gun like I've never seen. He wore a holster that nobody should ever be seen in film on. And he worked a lot with John Wayne in the Lone Star films, 1933 to 35. Gabby Hayes loved John Wayne. He said, if I'd had a son, he'd have been like John Wayne. He thought the world of him. Real quick, I want to give you a website before we wrap up Volume 1, Episode 2. I want to give you a website. I want you to write down The Old Corral. TheOldCorral.com. Now, this man on there, Mr. Anderson, trying to remember his first name, because I told you I'm doing everything by my mind. If I screw up or I get the wrong year, please forgive me. Don't hate me. I'm working from my mind. Mr. Anderson, the webmaster of The Old Corral. Man, he's got it all. Everything is on there. Go to TheOldCorral.com. You'll love it. And I'll see you in Episode 3, Church of the Hollywood Bee Cowboy.